Unified Review Theory.
Hello and welcome to the first ever Unified Review Theory podcast.
Woo!
I'm James.
I'm Neil.
And we're here to just kind of talk about stuff like other podcasts, but unlike other podcasts, at the
unlike
end of
anyone
it,
has ever thought of doing before in the history of civilization.
Yep. We're going to give it a mark out of 10.
Yeah.
And the reason this is important,
if you can wrap your head around that,
is because these marks go into the Unified Review Theory database, which is actually admissible in evidence in a court of law.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so, you know, that's if you nice. Kind of beat someone around the head because that they said Sylvester McCoy was a better Doctor Who than, I don't know, Paul McGann, then this wouldn't back you up.
No, because we've never reviewed either of those things.
Well, yeah, but presumably we may at some point. I can't imagine Doctor Who.
Well, we
Who.
Will have to. That's the whole remit. Yes. The remit of the Enterprise, for anyone who's never looked at our blog or website before, is that we have to review everything. Everything in the entire world, and give it a mark out of 10 accordingly. So, yes, Paul McGann's run as Doctor Who will, of course...
It's an important thing to say that even though we have mentioned both Doctor Who and Enterprise in the first, like, minute or so, we're not geeks.
I didn't mean that Enterprise, I just meant, you know, the word.
Yeah, but, you know, people are stupid, they might misunderstand.
Oh, that's a great way to start, that's beautiful.
Anyway, and...
We're geeks and you're stupid.
Just to prove we're not geeks, should we start with our first review?
Okay, why don't you kick it off, James? What are we looking at first tonight?
Tonight, we're looking at the incredibly ungeeky Quantum Leap.
What's Quantum Leap, James?
Quantum Leap is a TV program that everyone's
I've
watched.
Never heard of it.
You must have done, because I've watched several episodes with you. I recall.
Didn't we watch it every single week at 6 o'clock after we got home from school?
Yes, that's right. It was in the coveted BBC Two 6 o'clock slot.
It was, yes, but I'll stop talking about that because I'm just going to get geekier and geekier by the second.
Anyway, I have an introduction.
Okay, right.
Here we go. Quantum Leap. Wrongly theorising that one could time travel in their own lifetime, Dr. Sam Beckett irrationally stepped into a shiny blue light representing quantum physics as a child might see it, and vanished. He awoke to find himself trapped in a series of increasingly implausible cliffhangers, facing mirror images that were less smug than his own, and forced to change history to fit his own conservative liberal agenda. His only guide on this journey is Marty Hopkirk, who only Sam can see and hear unless the plot demands otherwise. Having not watched the programme for probably about 15 years, my dilemma is whether to leave it as a perfect part of my childhood or revisit it and risk the whole thing being irrevocably tarnished. What do you think?
Are you asking me?
Yes.
Well, it seems to me that from that rather sterling little introduction that you actually remember it exactly as it was, so why would you ever need to watch it again?
Well,
I think you hit all the major plot points of every single episode of Quantum Leap there.
I did have the Quantum Leap book.
You had the book?
Yeah, which like listed every episode and what happened in it.
Oh God, you did, didn't you?
Yeah.
But we're not geeks.
No, we're not geeks. I think it's important to continually stress that point.
James had the Quantum Leap book, which listed every leap that he ever did in Quantum Leap. But he's not a geek.
Well, it's good, though, because there were some episodes I missed through some reason. Probably, I don't know, evil parents.
And this they had, like, Nazis in, and so they didn't show them on the BBC at tea time.
Really? You weren't allowed to show Nazis? What about a lower low?
Right. Maybe they were actual Nazis with German accents.
Maybe the whole point of it was that Sam was trying to change it so that Hitler had won the war.
And that was the underlying arc plot, which they never showed on the BBC.
They found that objectionable.
Sam was a Nazi. Yeah, that would be kind of objectionable, I guess.
But yeah, no, it meant that the ones that I didn't see, I could imagine. And so it was like I'd seen every one of them, even if someone were in my head.
You're so cute.
I'm great. But yeah, so what did you think of Quantum Leap, Neil?
Well, as you know, because we watched it every tea time at 6 o'clock, it was awesome. It was very, very exciting. I loved the theme tune to Quantum Leap so much that I would try and sing it in my head on my bike back from school.
And imagine that you had leaped into a boy who was a bit grumpy and didn't really do much.
No, I don't think I was imagining myself into it in that way, but I just love that tune.
I suppose it would make your life more exciting if, kind of, just before you did anything, that theme tune played.
Yes, I suppose so. It's, if you're going to have a theme tune, that's a belter, frankly. But were there any particular leaps that you found yourself enjoying, or ones that you wished yourself into?
Well, I certainly didn't wish myself into it, but the best ones were always the ones that weren't just bog standard generic. Exactly the same thing happened, and there were some boring people that you didn't really
care
about.
Which was about 97%.
But it was the contrast, you see. It was the contrast between the 97% dull as ditchwater ones and the ones where, like, the devil was there, or he'd go back into the future or jump into himself or stuff.
Yeah, it was always that sort of keeping you on the edge of your seat on the promise of something interesting happening at some point, which was just mind-blowing when it did happen, I have to admit.
Yeah, so, you know, that's obviously the secret to having a good TV series. Is one episode every season, make it good, and the rest of the time just make it as bland as, like, crackers without butter on.
Which is a mantra that the makers of Lost have clearly, you know, absorbed and digested fully. You had the Quantum Leap book, right, which presumably had all kinds of trivia and crap in it. Did he say, oh boy, at the end of every single episode?
Actually, I think he didn't say it at the start, and then at one point, Sam Beckett, whatever his real name was. What was his real name?
Scott Bakula.
Scott Bakula.
Yeah.
Son of Bakula.
You had the book and you can't remember Scott
Bakula. Yeah, and I was actually on the website just before I wrote this video. But anyway,
oh, you've done research,
I see. He improvised the oh boy, and people liked it, so they kept it in.
People loved it.
So that was all Bakula.
Oh, wow. Does he get, like, royalties every time someone says, oh boy?
Yes.
That's pretty impressive.
And when anyone makes a racial slur, because he came up with them as well.
I must have, you know, I think maybe I actually am just a big geek, because I did kind of find myself worrying, aged whatever I was, about kind of some of the technicalities and the inconsistencies.
Which is more than the scriptwriters ever did.
Well, clearly, yeah. Like the whole, you know, mirror reflection thing, and how come he could see Al and dogs could see Al, even though
he was a hologram from the future who was only in his brainwaves. And kids as well.
That didn't make a lot of sense to me. And also, like, there was one where he was a kid, right?
Yeah.
So wouldn't everyone have been looking down at him instead of looking up at him? That just drove me nuts, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and when he was a monkey. And, like, if he was in a space that was big enough for a monkey but not big enough for Sam Beckett, what would happen
then?
He was
a monkey.
He was a monkey, man.
I don't remember. That was on my list that I've written here of Quantum Leaps that I would like to see them do, that I don't think they ever got to.
Well, actually, this is one I never saw and had only imagined. But
it
did exist.
Monkey.
So it's not like I just thought, oh, it'd be great if he was a monkey. Imagine
they got
a
whole 45-minute episode out of him being a monkey.
It was basically him just kind of picking ticks off another monkey and eating them. And
I don't believe that this ever happened.
Do you know what?
No.
We can have a URT bet.
What was the plot?
It was part of the space program. You see how amazing it is that a program I hadn't even seen from 15 years ago, I still remember the plot to.
It sounds... I'm not convinced. I'm going to need to watch this. I'm going to scratch that one off my list of... Because they did, you know, try and milk every possible, you know, drop of drama out of this premise. He leaps into a different person at the start of each episode. Oh my god, he's a woman. Imagine that. Imagine being a woman.
How awful that must be.
It's
boy.
A nightmare. Oh boy. He's black. He's a black man. Imagine that.
He was an Indian once.
He was an Indian.
And he said, oh boy, I'm an Indian. And then another Indian said, could be worse, you could be a white man.
That's hilarious. Really.
You kind of get the sense. It was like those old DC comics where they came up with the cover idea first and they had to kind of wrap a tenuous story around it.
Oh yeah, but you know, it did always make for good cliffhanger, even the most dull sort of episode that clearly had nowhere to go and took 45 minutes to go there. It would always at least be that good sort of, oh my god, I'm about to do a bris, you know, it was always very exciting.
That was a good episode. They're quite sick.
Do you want to hear my other ones that I don't think they ever did that I think they should have?
Go on, then.
I don't believe they ever did an episode where he leaped into a woman during labour.
That'd be interesting cinematography.
Oh boy! You know, I think that would have been, you know, there's dramatic potential there.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this would be exciting if he leaped into Jessica Fletcher from Murder, She Wrote. Because, you know, then he could solve a crime as well as being, you know, in Quantum Leap.
He was originally going to jump into Magnum PI at some point.
Really?
Yeah, because they were both made by the same guy.
So my Jessica Fletcher idea is not at all implausible.
As implausible as your monkey idea. You need to work harder.
Apparently I should have been writing Quantum Leap, because my hilarious ideas were actual plot ideas on Quantum Leap.
But do you remember the one where he jumped into Lee Harvey Oswald?
Yeah, I do. That was, you know, chilling.
But couldn't he have just, you know, stood in front of a truck or something?
Yeah, they really had to sort of go nuts with the plot on that one, because obviously, if you leap into Lee Harvey Oswald, and according to them, it was very clear-cut, he was the lone gunman thing. That was supposed to be the whole scary twist. So, yeah, why not just go and, you know, read a book? And so they had to do all kinds of convoluted plot nonsense to make him actually end up shooting the president. A lot of the things he was involved in could have been avoided by just getting out of town for a while, I felt.
Yeah, it's very true, but would have been less exciting. The other thing about Mr. so-called Dr. Sam Beckett was that, you know, he would leap in somewhere. He knew he was only going to be there for like a day or so at the most, and yet he had no compunctions about getting off with the girlfriend of whoever he'd leapt into.
Well, that was a key part of the show, the wish fulfillment factor. You leap into a strange man's life, you know, get off with his girlfriend, piss off the next day. No mess, no repercussions. It was very appealing. Even
and then
to,
that poor
know.
Guy kind of wakes up the next day and his girlfriend's going, I'm never doing that again. That was your one chance.
Yeah, so I guess we're married now. It would have been very confusing for a lot of the posts. That always worried me, when they leap back in, what the hell do they think?
I don't know, they probably just thought they were drunk or something.
Yeah.
I mean, there have been a few times when I could very happily have had Sam Beckett in my body for a good few hours and would have known, been none the wiser. Although if I did, he was a complete dick because he just made me do incredibly embarrassing and regretful things.
Can I blame things on Sam Beckett now?
Yeah. I believe, again, the Sam Beckett defence is legally admissible in a court of law.
Wow.
Law is very exciting.
It's more exciting than I knew. I will bear that in mind, and I will ring up a few old friends of my acquaintance and explain that during certain hilarious episodes that they never cease to remind me of, it was actually Sam Beckett, and he had to do it to save the future or something.
Oh, Sam.
Yeah.
What are you like?
So they did a monkey, right?
But do you remember the last episode?
Yes, I do. It was odd, and it broke from the formula, and it left unanswered questions.
Well, it didn't actually. Now, imagine how annoyed you'd be if Lost pulls that kind of crap.
What is the satisfying ending to Lost? They get off the island. I thought they did that or now. Don't tell me. No. Anyway, I've confused myself by trying to talk about Lost without learning anything about Lost that I don't know. So I'm going to just delete this whole part from the podcast.
Yes, fair enough. Okay, marks for Quantum Leap then.
Okay, well, you know, it was pretty entertaining. I did like it. I non-ironically enjoyed it in a big, big way. I would give it a solid 7.8 out of 10.
That is exactly what I was going to say.
Really?
Yeah. It's fate.
Well, it's a good thing we have such a varied range of opinions and subject matters on this show.
I give your mama 5 out of 10.
Next, we're going to be reviewing the Cameron family motto. Now, I am a Cameron, as are you, James.
I am.
Yeah.
You were a Cameron first. I have been a Cameron longer,
yeah. And one of the great things about being a Cameron is it's a pretty gangster surname. It's pretty hardcore. We have got proper actual history behind us. We have a clan that stretches back to the 14th century, James.
As I love telling people, we're related to Banquo.
Is the sister of Banquo, I believe?
Yes.
Yeah, we're descended from the sister of Banquo, who the less literary listeners may not know was the ghost, like the dude who got killed at the start, I guess, in Macbeth.
Actually, he was a bit shit, wasn't he?
Yeah, it would have been cooler if we were like descended from Macbeth. But what are you going to do? He's a bit part guy.
Unless
you're
Sam Beckett, then you could go
we're
back.
We're related to someone who was in Shakespeare. Come on, that's pretty awesome.
That is pretty cool.
So we've got all this history. We've got, you know, a long history of feuds and battles and, you
we
know,
hate the McDonald's.
General, is it the McDonald's we hate? I can never remember.
We hate the Campbells most of all.
I like people called Campbell.
You like Isabel Campbell from Belle and Sebastian?
Oh, I love her.
It's like Romeo and Juliet, only if they'd never met. And just Romeo just kind of liked the look of her from some photos he'd seen.
If they'd never met, he vaguely liked her from listening to her records. And if they ever did meet, neither of them would probably notice. But otherwise, exactly like Romeo and Juliet.
Yes.
So we have all that going for us, which is pretty good. And also we get the nice perks of a proper Scottish surname. We've got Tartan, of course. If not two or three
many
Tartans.
Many kinds.
Yeah,
Hunting Tartan.
What is it? You got your Battle Tartan and your War Tartan.
I think Tartan when you're having tea with the Vicar.
I've got to get me something in some War Tartan. We have we've got a crest, although I don't believe I've ever seen it.
You have.
I have.
It's those arrows that have been strung together with a belt, and two wee beardy men with underpants made of leaves standing on either side. Remember, we used to have a kind of coat of arms up in.
Yeah, that's right, up in the east wing of the castle.
Yes.
Okay, so there you go. So we have War Tartan. And we have a crest that involves arrows being strung together with belts. So it's all pretty, you know, it's pretty warlike and macho and what have you. And we also, of course, have a proper family motto, which continues this theme of general aggressiveness, but kind of amps it up to a frankly terrifying level. You, of course, know what our Cameron family motto is, would you?
Okay.
The Cameron family motto is the very peaceful and poetically phrased, "Come, sons of dogs, and taste our flesh."
Only in Latin to make it like proper motto.
You don't know the Latin.
Or maybe it's Gaelic. Some funny.
Yeah, that seems more likely. "Come, sons of dogs, and taste our flesh." When I first learned that that was it, I was really quite confused because I didn't understand it at all.
It is the wrong way around, you would think.
Because, first of all, it's not what you're expecting from a motto at all, which you expect to some kind of sum up the, I don't know, the sort of feelings or the attributes or the positive virtues of the clan. It's kind of a just something you'd shout at someone in a pub car park. I honestly didn't understand what it meant. I get the sort of calling people sons of dogs. That's pretty, you know, pretty straightforward. I can get behind that. But
quite offensive and, you know, potentially hurtful.
Potentially hurtful, but I guess that was the general idea. So clearly we come from a long line of people who just didn't care about other guys' feelings. But the taste our flesh part, what's that really saying? You know, like, come over here, have a bite.
It is.
That's our family motto. Come over here and have a bite. I didn't get it, was it? It sounded a bit, you know, is it gay?
What do you think gay people do, Neil?
I don't know. Come on, sons of dogs.
There was that German guy, actually.
Exactly, yeah. The guy who ate the other guy.
Yeah.
I assume that's who you're talking about.
That I suppose that German guy. In the context, it makes sense, but otherwise it does apply to quite
Gerhard Schroeder.
People.
No?
No.
You're kind of inviting people to come over and bite you. And it seems, I just don't really understand that. It's been explained to me since that you're kind of saying, I'm so hard, I'm in such a ruddy mood with you, that I'm just really so ticked off that you could come over here and have a bite, and I wouldn't even mind. I'd just carry on, you know, giving you your chops. I lost that towards the end there, didn't I?
Was it the chief who explained that to you?
Yes, I went on a pilgrimage up to the clan's base at, where is it? Lochiel?
Lochaber.
Lochaber. went on a pilgrimage up there, and I knocked on the door. He let me in, and he explained it to me. He sat me down and explained the whole thing. Neil, son, you're frankly a disgrace to the whole Cameron thing. Yeah. You don't even understand the motto.
I think Cameron should have to pass an exam.
I think that might help. So that's... does it make any more sense to you, James?
It is... Well, you kind of... If you're in a big war or battle with people and you say, come and eat me, come and take bites out of my flesh...
But it seems like that would hinder your battle fighting ability.
It's kind of like saying, you know, shoot me in the head, steal my gold teeth, and, you know, go back to my little cottage and have it away with my wee bonny lass.
I don't remember any you know, famous generals who's, you know, remembered in history for saying, come on and shoot me in the head and take me gold teeth. That just, it makes no sense to me.
Yes, it's probably why the Camerons had to all go over to Australia and America and places.
Is that why we got kicked out of Scotland?
Just a disgrace. You know, they'd be having their big rallying party, war cry parties, and it would come to the Camerons' turn and everyone would just look a bit embarrassed.
Or it worked too well. We'd shout at people, you know, come on and have a bite. They'd come over and have a bite. We couldn't fight very well, so we got sent home.
It's also, it doesn't have much use these days, I've found. So, like, before an interview, you try shouting it out. It doesn't create a good first impression.
Do you sort of say it over and over to yourself in sort of hushed tone before you have an important interview?
You can't.
Before you have to give
a war cry.
Come, sons of dogs, and taste our flesh. Taste our flesh. Taste our flesh.
I usually have it as my first slide in my PowerPoint presentation. I feel that's the modern day equivalent.
I guess so, yeah. I don't think that would go over very well. That's my whole point.
Mm.
It's not very applicable in contexts other than a 14th century battlefield full of Scottish people who are a bit,
Scottish,
you know,
cannibals.
Drunk and crazy. I'm not saying that all Scottish people are drunk and crazy. I could say that, but I'm not saying that right now. I don't feel it's an adequate family motto, frankly.
Have you got coming on from last review, alternatives?
I have come up with a few alternatives that try and express, you know, things that I'm proud of about being a Cameron, and that I think are laudable and to be worthy of being enshrined in the motto. I've got tenacity in the face of indifference, which certainly I think could be the motto for this, you know, for unified review theory, if not for the whole clan.
Do you not feel it's more like indifference in the face of indifference? We try it for a bit and no one pays any attention, so we stop for 3 years and
so kind of yeah, that's okay. Indifference in the face of indifference.
That's a good motto.
That's
right there.
Not a good motto. Okay, we'll move on from that one. I don't think that went well. For the love of mince. Because I know you're very fond of mince, and I certainly have been known to pack away a plate or two. And, you know, a lot of other people do as well, so that might catch
especially
on with the
Scots
wider clan
people.
Community.
I think they like mince, don't they?
Famously, yeah.
There you go.
So that's a maybe.
We could have a new crest.
We could, for the love of mince.
Just a kind of a plate
of
mince.
I believe there's a big Clan Cameron gathering next year, so we could take it up there and shop it around, you know, see...
put it up the flagpole, see who's leads.
Literally. See if we get any takers, see if we can get some funding for that.
Okay.
My last one was just, because we want to.
Surely that should be the Piper family motto.
Well, I figured, you know, it has been used before, obviously, but we don't have to credit that. Piper, as far as I know, is not as proper and official and well-established a clan as we are. I may be wrong there.
Yeah, they just kind of spend their time with other clans, you know. Pipers.
Yeah, rubbish. So I think that we could appropriate that and no one would really mind.
Or maybe honey to the bee. That's you for me.
No, that's dumb.
Yeah.
Any other suggestions yourself?
How about we respect your right to do whatever you want as long as it doesn't interfere with our right to do whatever we want, and in such places as our two desires.
Bored now, it's the mince one. Okay, it's the mince one. Decided. Hooray!
People like you that are responsible for dumbing down Britain. People like you.
Well, I can live with that. Okay, so let's give them marks for the old motto and the new motto. The old motto, come sons of dogs and taste our flesh, I give that... I give it a 5 out of 10, because it does have a certain sort of demented charm to it. I'm not saying it's not good, but I don't think it's anywhere near for the love of mints.
I would give, frankly, actually, the old one 8.1, because I think it would be
8.1.
great, like kind of slurring it outside a pub before you get into a punch-up. Okay, you son of a dog, taste my flesh.
I don't think anyone would understand what you meant.
Well, no.
I'm going to go, what do you mean?
It's probably for good...
Do you want me to give you a blowjob? What are you saying?
It might defuse the situation. You never know.
Is that how you get out of fights outside pubs?
When I have to. when all other options
are
closed.
I think you... Yes, okay. Anyway, moving swiftly on. So you give 8.1 for the old one.
Yep. What was your score?
I give it 5 out of 10.
5 out of 10. Okay.
So that makes an average of... we'll work that out later.
6.5 and a half.
I forgot you're an accountant. Okay, 6.6, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that will be entered in the ledger along with everything else.
And new motto? Mincy motto?
The Mincy motto... Well, that's just bullshit, isn't it? I give it 2 out of 10. I was lying when I said it was good. It's just rubbish.
Yeah, okay, I'll give it 2 out of 10 as well.
2 out of 10? Absolutely not.
See,
so that was a useful exercise,
I tell you what it
really,
is.
Wasn't
we both
it?
Fear change, like everyone else in the world.
So we learned a lot there. We learned that tradition and history, while seeming stupid and weird, is probably better than anything you can come up with.
Well, to
so
be
let's
fair,
go and
anything
join the Conservative
you can come
Party.
Up with.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, I think that's as good
okay,
as
well,
any to
there we
stop
go.
Talking.
We've had fun, but you know, there's been a serious side as well. That's now two more things, three more things, in fact. That you know, although one of them didn't exist before the podcast. So,
so we're actually creating work for ourselves now by
at this
making
rate,
stuff up.
We're never going to be finished.
No, because we knocked two off and we only added one. So as long as we don't do a podcast where we invent five new things and only review... I'm tired of this.
Unified Review Theory.
And remember, Unified Review Theory is not just about us, although it is almost exclusively about us because we're the only people who
it's
have
not
any
about
interest
us.
In.
We don't review ourselves well, often.
That's true. We are just mere empirical observers.
We're
but
reporters.
You can get involved as well. So, you know, send us review ideas or money, maybe. Mints.
Don't ask for money, James. Yeah, you can ask for mints, that's fine. Yes, if you have any ideas of stuff you'd like to review, if you think there's anything out there in the world, well, there's obviously a lot of stuff out there in the world, but if you can think of anything more interesting than us rabbiting on about Quantum Leap for 20 minutes...
Impossible!
In an incredibly uninformed and unenlightened way, or the most appalling lack of knowledge of our own family history and traditions, then yeah, why not give us a drop us a line? You know, you can, I guess, put stuff in the comments on the blog or whatever. Yeah, if you've got any ideas, let us know. We'll pretty much review anything as long as it doesn't involve any effort or research.
Which I think, you know, is part of the charm.
Yeah, well, that's what we're hoping, I guess.
Yes, because if left to our own devices, we will just review children's TV programmes from now till eternity, I think.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep the TV category from creeping up to the top of the list because it gets easier and easier to just write about whatever crap's on telly, doesn't it?
Because that's all we do.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, we hope you enjoyed this podcast. We hope we've actually managed to record it correctly. And please come back next week.
Week?
Next year?
Yeah.
Come back somewhere between next week and next year. We'll be sure to tell you.
Happy New Year.
And we'll do it all again.
Hooray! Goodbye! Okay,
well, they did a monkey, right? You tell me that...
They did a monkey. That was the aftershow part.
You tell me... Oh, well, that's another one on the list. Sam Beckett leaping into a guy doing a monkey at some kind of a drunken frat party. No?